Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our third disability accommodation meeting, or as we have affectionately come to call it, our DAM meeting, brought to you by your CEO benefits team, along with Risk Management's Disability Management Division and Workers' Compensation Division. I think probably most of you have been here before, but just as a recap of our sort of purpose for these DAM meetings is it's really just meant to be an informal forum of peers and colleagues where we can gather, share questions, thoughts, ideas, and resources the first Thursday of every month so that we can support one another, whether we're in the office or in our virtual locations, because we know there's lots happening out there in the world of leaves at this point. Our intention was always that these meetings would be the first Thursday of every month, but due to the school virtual learning closure issue, we were asked if we would maybe squeeze one in about 2 weeks ago. So we did that, and the whole focus and purpose of 2 weeks ago was school closure. And so in addition to that, we were asked if we would start recording these meetings. So we just want you to know we are recording again today's meeting so that if there's individuals who can't be here or you want to go back and reference certain information, it is available to you. Additionally, we want you to know that because this really is a forum, everyone is currently muted, but you have the capacity to unmute yourself at any point during the forum to speak up. You can also use the virtual raise your hand feature, or you can put things into the chat for everyone to see if you want to ask questions that way. We welcome your participation in whatever way works best for you. Just know that if you unmute yourself, we really can hear you. So careful, careful out there. So today's forum, to get us rolling, one of our primary focuses for today is actually a sweet one. It is the topic of pregnancy leaves. And as you will see, those of us who are speaking today have put some themes for you behind us to sort of get us in the mood for pregnancy leaves. And in addition, we thought that to kick things off and to break the ice with our theme of sweet pregnancy leaves, we thought we would ask you, if 2020 were a candy bar, what would it be called? So feel free to think about your responses to that and share it with the group in the chat if you have some good ideas of what your 2020 candy bar would be called. So in addition to the fact that we have this sweet little theme, we think, because we haven't gotten a whole lot of pre-questions, that because we had a session 2 weeks ago, we're hopeful at least that a lot of the things that you guys have been facing and have had sort of as struggles in the past couple of weeks are hopefully settling in a bit. And we think there's a possibility today's forum might be a baby version of our DAM meeting, because there's maybe not quite as much information. Anthony Laurie, that is the best. I love it. I can't even say how much I love it. That is fantastic. So, all right. So just so you know, what we are hoping to kind of get through today is that we obviously are going to talk about pregnancy leaves. Ken and Courtney are going to share some information with you as it relates to VCHRP and Prosagia. Jess is going to speak to you for a few minutes about FMLA project that the Disability Management Division is working on. And then Ken and I are going to give you just a quick little heads up on some legislative changes that we are aware of that we think you might want to be paying attention to in the weeks to come. And then, as always, we'll end with any question and answer session that you guys wanted, the things you want to talk about and the things that you would like to put out there. So before we get started, Tracy will be manning our Q&A. Tracy, any good candy bars you want us to know about?
Yes. So whatchamacallit is a good one. We've got Payday, Rocky Road, and don't break me off a piece of that 2020 Kit Kat.
I like that. Yeah. So take you know, keep them coming.
And in the meantime,
oh, take five. That's cute. So keep your funny ideas coming. And in the meantime, then I'm going to turn it over to Ken and Courtney to talk specifically about pregnancy leaves.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I wanted to kind of go over the pregnancy leaves as they are going to be handled moving forward. So I know there's been some quandary as to how we process the pregnancy leaves. Traditionally, when the mother is disabled, she may take time off before her pregnancy, and then she will deliver the baby, and then there's the recovery time that follows. Once she recovers, she typically does her bonding leave, or what we call is the CIFRA leave, which is an additional 12 weeks. So what we're actually formalizing this and putting it into policy now, is that we are going to allow the mothers to take time off after the PDL is exhausted. So Tracy has the pregnancy disability leave caption from taken right out of our handbook that I have revised. But as you all know, or may not know, pregnancy disability leaves the mothers are entitled to about 4 months, which is equal to about 17 and a third weeks for pregnancy, childbirth, or any related medical condition. So what will happen now, and we'll go into this a little bit more, but I just kind of want to give you the quick and dirty as far as what the changes are, and then we can dive into the weeds of what the policy is going to look like. So currently, when the mother recovers, she can go right into bonding, which is the 12 weeks of bonding. However, there are times when the mother has complicated pregnancies, bed rest, preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, things of that nature may not allow the mother to be able to be ready to go back to work in that 17 and a third week period. So what the policy now will be is if the mother needs additional time due to, for instance, a complicated pregnancy, she can take what we are calling is ADA FEHA time. So that additional time will be, that has to be requested from the mother and reviewed by your department. But what it will do is it will capture an amount of time in between her pregnancy leave and her bonding. So it'll be a three-phase or three-layer time off or request for time off. For instance, they'll start off with their pregnancy leave. They'll exhaust the 17 and a third weeks. They'll go into ADA or FEHA due to a complicated pregnancy. And then when they recover from that, then they can continue on with their bonding. So Tracy, you want to go into the other rights and benefits? So I'm going to just kind of read some of this. If you're eligible for FMLA, you have certain rights to take both a PDL and FMLA leave for reason of birth of your child. If you're qualified for both, and for those of you who know this, we do qualify you for FMLA and PDL when you go out. So you can take a total of 7 months, which is equal to about 29 and a third weeks. So this period does include the 12 weeks. So if you capture just the pregnancy disability portion, that's 17 and a third weeks, and the bonding portion is 12 weeks. So during that time, your medical contributions or your flex credit allowance are covered for that period of time that you're off. The second paragraph for FMLA CFRA leaves to bond with the newly acquired dependent child must be taken within 1 year. So this is old stuff. You guys already know this. This hasn't changed. The mothers have 1 year to complete from the date of the birth of the child to complete their bonding. So for adoption and foster care, obviously it's the day of acquisition from the day the child is placed with them. This is old stuff again too. The minimum leave time is 2 weeks. Can you go back a little bit up? Oh, there you go. A little bit more. So the minimum leave time is 2 weeks, and we get a lot of questions on that. So the mothers are expected to take a minimum of 2 weeks time off when they bond. They can break it up or slice it up any way they want, but the minimum is 2 weeks. There is, however, two occasions when they can break up that time, and it can be less than 2 weeks. The other thing to remember is when the mother is bonding and they want to trigger the bonding time, they can, their medical contributions or their flex credit allowance is applied. So that's always been the case. So when a mother takes PDL, FMLA, and then goes straight into bonding, flex credit allowances are covered. So we do subsidize their medical. Now this hasn't changed, but some of you are not aware of it. When the employee takes time off and needs to take a complicated pregnancy leave due to complications, then, and they use the ADA and the FEHA time, their flex credit allowance or subsidy is not credited during their medical, during their leave. So the employee would be expected to pay the full cost of their medical. So that has to be a consideration for the employee when they decide they want to trigger the ADA. If the employee were to go into bonding, their medical would be subsidized. I think that pretty much covers it. So there was some earlier last year, or late last year, earlier this year, there were some discussions about whether the mother could take the time off. Would it be covered under ADA? Could we interrupt the bonding with this type of leave? So this is all now formalized. So it's an actual policy now. And moving forward, we'll be using this policy to follow as we decide whether benefits are paid or not and at what level they're paid.
All right, Ken, we have two questions. Okay. Does the full payment of premiums under ADA only take effect if they are unpaid?
Correct. So obviously if they have BUCU accruals, you know, sick and vacation, and they're continuing on a paid leave, they'll continue to receive their flex credit. But the key thing to remember is when the employee becomes unpaid, that's when the flex credit will be determined based on the type of leave they are on. So again, if they're on ADA and FEHA, the employee, and they're unpaid, they will be expected to pay the full cost of their premium. If they're still on PDL or they go right into CIFRA, which is the bonding portion, then the medical subsidy will apply. They'll pay the reduced amount.
And Ken, is BUCU accruals the technical term?
Well, I was trying to keep it in relation to, you know, children, BUHU.
All right, one more question. If they have bank time to use during the ADA period, do they then get their flex credit?
They do. Another caveat to what I said is if the employee, let's say, had a lot of accruals in their bank early on in their leave, and they did not become unpaid until the end of their PDL at the early stages of when they become unpaid, and they still have MOA provisions that apply, it's very possible they could be on a ADA FEHA leave, but exercising their MOA or management resolution provisions, which does cover, in most cases, their flex credit allowance. So it just depends. That's something that we'll have to analyze as we get these. And, you know, we're definitely available for questions, but that is a consideration as well.
Okay, two more questions. If the employee isn't eligible for FMLA, does PDL still apply?
Yes, always.
Always, yes. Okay, and if an employee switches to ADA, FEHA, and loses the flex credit, but then, oh, wow, they're coming in fast and furious. Let me scroll back up. But then uses bonding at a later date, is the flex credit reinstated the pay period in which they start bonding?
That's correct.
Okay. And if they get released from ADA and then request a bonding leave, do they get their flex credit again? Oh, so that's the same question, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
And then, let's see, BUCU was a candy bar discontinued by Nestle. Thank you, Chuck, for that piece of trivia. Oh yeah, and then somebody said thank you for answering their question.
This is a really good, generous option for the mothers now. So they have some decisions to make. You as the leave caseworkers and the HR managers should be questioning as they progress during their pregnancy leave and question whether they are going to be heading towards the bonding path or if they're going to continue with an ADA FEHA leave due to pregnancy complications. So you'll need to kind of test the waters and see where they're at so that you can give them some options. We may come up with a cheat sheet, if you will, that kind of breaks it down for you so you can see what it is, but it's pretty straightforward now. The other thing I wanted to mention though, is if when the mother is qualified for FMLA at the onset of her pregnancy leave, if she qualifies for FMLA, she is automatically qualified for bonding. So as long as the mother does not come back to work, so she takes her pregnancy, she goes on her ADA, and then she goes on her bonding, she is guaranteed that 12 weeks. Even if that 12 weeks or that bonding period flows into the next calendar year, she's still entitled to that time off.
All right, so we have a thumbs up for a cheat sheet. They said that would be great. Next question, how do we trigger the reinstatement of the flex credit? Is this done automatically once entered in BCHRP as bonding, or is there any additional paperwork needed to reinstate the flex credit?
No, once you trigger it in BCHRP to a bonding leave with benefits, which is it's called an LOA, BOB, bonding with benefits, that's our indication to us in my team will trigger the flex credit. So they'll get their subsidy at that point. If they're under the ADA pregnancy action reason codes, then we will evaluate to see if they have any MOA provisions. If they do not, then they will pay the full cost of their medical.
Okay, and last question. The 12 weeks of CFRA will still need to be utilized prior to the child's first birthday, regardless of when they are released off of ADA, correct?
Thank you. That's an excellent point. Yes. So the mother has 1 year in a situation where there's a natural birth, excluding adoption and foster care. When the mother has the baby, the mother has 1 year to complete her leave for bonding. So by the time the baby turns one, she must have finished her bonding period. So if you're looking at a 12-week entitlement for bonding, then you are looking at the mother probably around the nine-month mark needing to trigger her bonding so that she can receive those entitlements that are due her.
Thank you, Ken. That's it.
And we'll post this policy on our website.
Great, thank you, Ken. And before we turn it over to Courtney, who's gonna talk a little bit about same procedures as it relates to Presagia, just as a reminder, we still have on the intranet our COVID-19 website that has all documents that relate to items specific to COVID-19. And now we have set up a second intranet site for you to get documents that are not like this for pregnancy that are on the DAM meeting intranet site. So you can get those things as well. So look for your DAM documents. All right. So Courtney, I am turning it over to you to talk about Presagia.
Thank you, Catherine. We'll go ahead and have Tracy will be pulling up some screenshots. I'm just talking about how we go from pregnancy disability to ADA in Presagia. So as you can see on the screen, the employee has exhausted the FMLA and the PDL in Presagia. And in order to add the ADA policy, you will just go ahead and go to add policy to the drop-down menu and add the accommodations piece. That will create a worklist item so that you can provide the ADA form. This policy will be added prior to transitioning into bonding. So you wanna make sure when you get this screen when submitting the extension that you do keep it in pregnancy before you transition it to bonding. Go ahead and scroll down, please. Thank you. And then once released from the ADA, then you will, they will be released by their physician. So once they are released, then you can go ahead and launch the bonding and transition the pregnancy leave into the bonding. It's important that we keep all pregnancy related items in the single pregnancy leave case. So that is FMLA, PDL, ADA, and their bonding all should be within the same case if it is the same pregnancy. Now, if they do return back to work, then obviously they do break that leave of absence, so it will need to be created as a new leave. However, we do want to keep all of the leave pertaining to one pregnancy on one leave case. And okay. That is it.
Great, thank you. I think a couple questions, huh, Tracy?
Yeah, we did get a question, but I think it's going to be answered in our next segment. It's, are we not recertifying FMLA for pregnancy leaves at the beginning of the year? So I would just say, stay tuned.
Good transition.
Great. Perfect timing. So our next topic, I'm going to turn it over to Jess. He's going to talk about an FMLA project that Disability Management is working on right now. I just want to give the caveat, though, before he get started, that this is a very ambitious project. It requires a coordination of a number of pieces. We're trying really hard to see if we can make this possible for 2020. Whether or not we're going to be successful in that is going to be sort of dependent on many different factors. But we at least wanted you all to know what was happening, and that this is certainly in response to we understand that the year-end recertification is incredibly difficult for leave coordinators, and we're looking for ways to try to assist in changing up that methodology. So with that caveat and with a great deal of optimism and hope, I will turn it over to Jess, and hopefully this is a reality, but we'll keep you posted. So Jess, you want to fill them in on that?
Yes, thank you. So we are evaluating the FMLA calculation considered and called the rolling method. So right now we are on a 12-month year method, which means, as you all know, we have to recertify each case on January 1st. With the rolling method, we have a change in our FMLA eligibility. So what exactly does the rolling method mean? So for the 12-month period measured backwards from the day an employee uses any FMLA leave. Under the rolling 12-month period, each time an employee takes FMLA leave, we look back to see if they've taken any time so we can have their full calculation of their eligible 12 weeks. Some examples, go ahead, Tracy. Okay, so what does it look like exactly? So we've provided a couple of examples. An employee requests 3 weeks off FMLA beginning July 31st. So as coordinators, we're going to look back to the last date of 12 months and see if they've taken any time off. In this case, the employee has not taken any time off previously, so they would be eligible for the full 3 weeks that they have applied for. Okay. Next slide. Example two is a little bit more complicated, okay? An employee requests 2 weeks of FMLA leave on beginning November 1st. So in this case, again, we look back the 12 months. We see that they have taken some time in the previous 12 months. In this particular case, the employee has taken 4 weeks off in January, 4 weeks off in March, and another 3 weeks in June. So what this means is that the four plus the three time is what they've already taken. So it's 8 and then 11 total that they've taken. So they would be eligible for the remaining time that they would have, which equals 12. So they would only be eligible for 1 week of FMLA. Okay, so that is basically the way the method is going to be administered by us in Presagia as well. So recertifying at the end of the year will no longer be applicable, which means we're going to avoiding automatic resetting of FMLA at the beginning of the year. So if we move forward with the look back, then we will no longer have to recertify everyone in the beginning of the year. What does happen is that we will administer the leave of absence as they are requested. So every time an employee requests a leave of absence, we will do the look back to see exactly if they've used any time. So we won't have to automatically recertify everyone. Presagio will generate a work list item for everyone once the employee gains or exhausts FMLA, so it could be a little bit more easy in the transition. So we are now going to be testing the Presagio website or the Presagio system to see if they accurately will be calculating the FMLA entitlements, the CFRA entitlements, and any other entitlements that are captured within Presagio. So we are ensured that it truly does calculate looking back. Finally, if anyone has any questions regarding the FMLA lookback method or any comments regarding you previously used this method before in another system or have any feedback to if they liked it, if they did not like it, any kind of pros and cons with this type of method, please let us, more specifically me, know. We will be opening up the testing environment soon. This will change our current testing environment, meaning the Presagio system that we use for testing will be transitioned to the look back. So once it is available, we will let everyone know that the new testing environment is going to be available. But what this does mean is that those testing that you would like to do will reflect the new method. So it will be changed, but we will be keeping you updated on when that's going to be available. And finally, as the DMD team is working hard to kind of get this project underway and completed, we will be reaching out to you, the agency, the coordinators for assistance. So to help us with the testing and a successful implementation of this project, it'll take us all some time and some coordination, but more or less it's going to be with the support of you all and Presagio to truly make this a successful implementation. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jess. So as I said, there's no promises here, but we know that the recertification at the end of every year is very complicated for all of you, and that it's not only a time crunch at year end during the holidays and all these other things, but it also then means that every calendar year your employees recert for 12 more years. Feels like 12 more years, but it's really only 12 more weeks. But that it makes operational needs sometimes really difficult to meet when people keep recertifying at the start of every year instead of having this really be a true 12-month accounting for the FMLA. So as Jess noted, if you have strong feelings one way or another, you're certainly free to share them right now in the group chat, but otherwise, please reach out to him and we really want your feedback. We want your thoughts. This would be a massive change for us, but we think in the long term, it is a better workflow for you guys as coordinators and for the departments. It'll just take a little bit of getting used to. So we welcome thoughts, today or down the road on all of this as the project moves forward. And Tracy, sorry, are there other questions that are still need to be answered?
Yeah, so regarding this FMLA look-back period, we have a question when it'll be effective. We don't know yet, right?
Correct.
60 days notice, or have we done that already?
We have not. So what's required is that we would have to give at least 60 days notice to our various union representation. And so in order to do that, really for us, this Presagio is supposed to have the test environment up and ready for us at some point here, hopefully mid-September. We're really hoping to call upon you guys to say, for those of you who can get in it and fool around with it, it would give us a couple weeks, and then we would really have to move forward, assuming that we think the test environment looks good and it's working well. So as I said, there's a lot that has to happen here to make this a reality, but we at least wanted you to know we're shooting for it, and hopefully you guys think it's a better methodology for you and your operations as well.
Another question. This also applies to CFRA, correct?
I'm not sure what.
Yes. Yeah, so all of the entitlements that we capture in Presagia, it will be look back method the same way.
Oh, right. Right. Mm-hmm.
It says, so will this prevent FMLA and CFRA from running concurrently when recertifying? Asking because some new mothers lost bonding when recertifying.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, so what this will prevent is going to be stacking. So if that makes sense. So if an individual is taking a leave of absence nearing the end of the year and they are going to exhaust, with the method that we currently have, it will be recertified and they get a new 12 weeks. With the look back, it will not be that way. The kind of case follows that one case and will the employee will get more time back on the anniversary of their leave. So they'll start to gain back that time on the first day absence of the previous year. So with the method, it'll just prevent the stacking. And I think that's what that means. But if not, then please feel free to email me.
Thank you, Jess. We have one comment. I think it's a great idea. Used it in the past and it worked well. Thank you for that. Here's some more questions. Do we anticipate pushback associated with the change to the rolling 12-month eligibility? Due to COVID, we've had a huge use of FMLA this year, and many people wouldn't restore their 12 weeks effective at the start of the year. Has this been considered, as it may be perceived to be disadvantageous to staff at a time that more people are utilizing FMLA due to COVID?
And I think it's a great question, and I'll answer it, you know, quite truthfully. I think there is the possibility that there will be some pushback. We started this whole discussion long before, because it is such a huge change, long before COVID was a reality. The truth of the matter is our current methodology is richer than is required, let's say that, the current methodology. It's a fair point that we have people that are using it a lot, and I think the discussion is going to be, you know, is going to have to be sort of weighted out. Is this the right moment in time? Is it not the right moment in time? But we at least need to figure out, is there pushback? How do people feel about it? And to even make it a potential option for this year, we still have to move forward and see what happens. But yeah, it's a fair statement that certainly more people have used FMLA in different ways than they have otherwise. The one counter I would give to that is as it exists currently, the FMLA entitlements for school closure expire on December 31st of this year. So I think we have a lot of folks who've taken FMLA relating to their children's school closure who, based on the entitlement, at least as it is currently written, would no longer have that piece of FMLA, would not be available to them. Even if they got a recert January 1st, school closure would not be FMLA eligible at that point. And I think overwhelmingly, those are the folks who might have a desire to still have that protection. But as it's written at this point, that is not that there is no extension beyond December 31st of this year.
I wanted to add also that if the employee was taking FMLA only and it only applied to FMLA, then they do have the CIPRA piece available to them. So because if the leave type that they take only applies to FMLA, CIPRA is another option. So the type of leave, like for instance, school closures, those don't apply to CIPRA. So we have to offer them the availability to take off the CIPRA time for reasons that are covered under CIPRA. So bonding, care for a spouse, child, or parent. It's not gonna cover school closures, but it does give them a little bit of opportunity or avenues to seek out these other type of serious health conditions for themselves or for family, provided they didn't take FMLA already in the year that was identical to the leave that they're going to take for CIPRA. So that's when they do dissect, if that makes any sense.
Good point, Ken. We do have another question. If there's pushback that would sink the idea this year, do you have recommendations for the leave case managers to prepare for recertification to avoid the December 31st crisis for them and the DMD staff?
I can think of things that I won't say because we're being recorded. It's complicated, and unfortunately I don't have an easy answer for any of you. If we have to recertify December, I mean, as you all know, that's the time frame. Like, that's what it is. So yeah, you can start to think about, you know, how do you structure your December with the understanding that you have folks that are going to recertify. And you know, I can't promise you either that in December, what is now not, you know, which is the expiration of certain entitlements, that they might not suddenly be extended then into 2021, and it changes the whole landscape yet again. So, I mean, I think my best recommendation is to know that we're looking for different strategies to help you guys. I can't promise what that looks like between now and December 31st, but I at least want you to know we are looking for ways to try to support and help you. We'll know more about the methodology as we get closer to December, and that would certainly then allow you to know, do you not need to recertify? That would obviously be helpful. If you do need to recertify, you know, I think the earlier in December, people can start to think about, how are you going to manage that? What does your staffing dynamic look like? I recognize that it falls at a time too where, you know, people want to take time off too because it's the holidays. So the sooner you can at least be thinking about it, if this is not the year that this happens, hopefully that makes it a little bit easier. But I certainly understand and get that if this isn't the year that it happens, it's probably the year that this is potentially some of the more challenging recertification that you have, because if it isn't and there's any change to the landscape, you're going to have people who are likely going to be asking for leaves at a higher rate than normal going into January as well, because then that means most likely schools remain closed. So all I can promise is that between now and then, we're going to continue to hold these meetings, continue to try to problem solve and brainstorm with and for you. But I encourage you to also, I know it's hard to think about December, but here we are first week of September, already kind of starting to think long-term game plan within your groups is probably a wise approach.
Thank you. That's it for the questions.
Okay. So I think now Courtney was going to share just a little bit of information about the latest memo, which I'm sure folks have seen. If you have not, I encourage you to make sure you saw information that was provided again yesterday by Sean Otten regarding, forms of accommodation, especially in light of school closure, and then use of attestation affiliated with that. So Courtney, you want to talk about that for a couple minutes?
Yes. So as Catherine mentioned, there was another attestation form that was sent out, and that was effective September 1st. And that is strictly for childcare accommodations and alternative schedule requests. This has been requested to be uploaded into Presagia under the initial correspondence to go right behind the already existing attestation forms in Presagia. So once that has officially been launched into our live system, I'll go ahead and send an email, but it is scheduled to be uploaded shortly. I'd want to say by the end of the day, but I don't want to make promises. So it will be within the next couple of days uploaded into Presagia, so you guys can have it for your resources.
Great. Thanks. So one more little category just before we turn it over to you guys for Q&A is that Ken and I wanted to give you just some heads up for some things that are pending legislation you want to keep an eye towards that are probably coming down the pike here pretty quickly. So Ken, you want to share what you have?
Yes. Currently there is a law pending the governor's signature that will entitle, let me back up again. currently our policy on the family care leaves is to allow for parent, for employee to care for parent, child, or spouse. So the law that's pending the governor's signature will also include grandparent, grandchild, sibling, and domestic partner. So that's the biggest change that you will see that will change our policies as we know it today. So the time period will not change. It will still be 12 weeks. It does offer the guarantee of your benefit protection as well as your job protection to either same or comparable position during that 12-week period. So none of that has changed. It's just that they're adding now care for, again, grandparent, grandchild, sibling, and domestic partner. If the governor signs this, this will go into effect on January the 1st, 2021. Any questions?
Yeah. Does anybody have questions on that one? Doesn't look like it. Or do we?
Pretty straightforward.
Okay. And I wanted to bring to your attention also a bill that is pending sitting on the governor's desk. Which we anticipate he will sign as it relates to COVID-19 and workers' compensation. So some of you likely recall there was an executive order that the governor had put in place that took us from the start of the public health order through July 5th, which said that if an employee was required to report to work and they got COVID-19 within 14 days of that time, that it was presumed that they got it at work, and we had to at least make sure we got them a claim form and let them go down the work comp process if they were so inclined. July 5th, that order expired, and sort of we've been in limbo where we went back to the idea that COVID-19 falls more into a category of like a cold and flu, where we would normally, if an employee gets a cold, say, oh, quick, here's a claim form, right? So this new legislation will go back. It will pick us back up to July 5th and will once again, in all likelihood, put us in the place where if an employee is required to report to work and they become positive within 14 days of that time, that it will be presumed that they did pick it up at work, and we will go back to the methodology where we were using through July 5th. There are some new little caveats, as there always are to these lovely bills that are so helpful to all of us. I know you love the changing rules, so do we. I'm not going to get too far into the weeds on any of that stuff, but I just want you to know it's coming. There will be some subtle little nuanced changes. And when it gets signed, which I absolutely anticipate it will, we will then provide you with information specific to that topic. But I just want you to know that it's coming. Any questions about that part? No? Okay. So that's really for us today, the things that we wanted to share with you. Are there any things you guys want to share with us or with one another on any topic whatsoever before we wrap up for today? We'll give it a minute or two so people can type if there's anything. Oh, Anthony, it's so great. I just... I think it's awesome. okay. Well, it looks like we don't have questions. So it is our intention to go back to the monthly format, which will mean that our next DAM meeting will be the first week of October, first Thursday of October. So we will definitely send out an invite in the meantime. As always, if there's questions that you want us or topics you want us to discuss in those meetings ahead of time, Ken always sort of welcomes that out to, you know, so feel free to share those in advance. And, you know, we're happy to cover anything that you guys think is of value to you. And then in the meantime, we will post all of the documents. If they're COVID-related topics, as I said, they'll be on the COVID site. If not, they will be on the DAM meeting site. So you can continue to reference them as well as the recording of today's meeting. So we appreciate you guys all being here. Hopefully today's topic was nice to talk about something that despite COVID, still happy things are happening for our employees. It's always nice when there's a new member of the family, and you guys are an integral part to helping our employees sort of chart this really special time for they and their families. So we appreciate everything that you're doing. We know that it remains a challenging time. And as I said, we're here to try to help and problem solve as best as we can. So we appreciate your time and your thoughts on this. And we hope you stay well, stay safe, and we will see you first week of October.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.